Morning. Sorry, excuse me. Can we just pray, please, before we look at our word this morning? Oh, Father God, I just thank you for your precious word, and I ask that you speak this morning, Lord, that you open our hearts and just draw close and speak into our lives, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Our topic this morning is entitled Encountering the Holy Spirit, and when I started to first look at this and pray about it, I was just struck by what a huge and massively important thing this is for us to consider. And so that I don't lose track and take you off on a tangent, I thought I really needed to sort of try and focus down to sort of 3 points, really. So as we think about this and try and see what God is saying to us, we're going to start by looking at what do we mean by encountering the Holy Spirit, why is this something we should desire, and then finally, how do we go about it? So, as a start, what do we mean by encountering the Holy Spirit? When we encounter or come into the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're actually coming into the presence of God, and I think that can be beautiful and scary in equal measure. I don't know how many of you were here a couple of weeks ago when Hugh was speaking on the subject of what are you afraid of, and I was struck because one of the things I have been afraid of is encountering the Holy Spirit. And he took the text from Exodus, looking at the passage where God came down to the top of Mount Sinai and Moses met him there. And we read that the people remained at a distance while Moses approached God, and they stayed away and trembled with fear and stayed at a distance. So, as I say, that question struck a chord for me because for a stage in my life, I definitely trembled with fear and kept a distance. And this wasn't because I was afraid of God in terms of someone who was going to, you know, like a horrid headmaster who was going to dish out a punishment. I was very aware that he knew everything about me, so he wasn't going to find out anything new. I think I was just afraid of losing control. And my first encounter with the Holy Spirit was at an Alpha Away day. And I went with a real sense of apprehension and confusion. Teaching on the Holy Spirit in the church I was at the time was quite a new thing for me and for many people in the church at that time. I had a vague understanding of the Trinity. I could have spoken about God and Jesus, but I wasn't really very sure about the Holy Spirit. I can remember I described it rather ham-fistedly as the bit that Jesus left behind, almost like an umbrella left in a hallway rather than a precious gift. But there were people in my church that had this relationship with God that was spirit-filled, and I really wanted what they'd got, but I was a bit like a child being offered a bag of sweets, that I wanted the sweet, but I didn't really want to have to reach out and take one. But the day arrived for our away day, and I turned up. I think more than anything else, apart from God prompting me, was that I just thought it would be really noticeable if I didn't show up, so I thought I'd better show up. And there was a lot of publicity about Alpha at that time. It was quite new, and there were articles in the press how things were happening at a church in Toronto, and people were being laid out on the floor and laughing uncontrollably and barking like dogs, and it all just sounded very weird. And I guess, in a way, for me as a very shy person, it's pretty understandable that I just thought, well, I really don't think I can cope with all of that. But I went to the day, and I found out such a precious thing about God that day, because I found that not only did God love me, not only did Jesus die for me, but the Holy Spirit loved me too. And my encounter with the Holy Spirit was about the most undramatic public show of his presence that anybody could have ever imagined. His presence was completely overwhelming for me, but I didn't weep uncontrollably or fall on the floor or do anything bizarre. Quite the reverse. I found I couldn't move. I just could not move my legs. Everyone around me was getting up and going off and having lunch, and I was just fixed to my chair. I stood more chance of flying to the moon than moving my legs. Now, if you told me when I left for the day that by 11:30 I would be, to all intents and purposes, paralysed and fixed in a chair, I would have found that extremely frightening and almost certainly not turned up. But the reality was that it wasn't the least bit scary. I just was overwhelmed by the love of God. And that is such a beautiful thing. And I believe our encounters with the Holy Spirit are going to be different for each one of us, and it won't be the same on different occasions. I have since come into God's presence and wept and laughed, and yet somehow for me, I will never forget that gentleness of my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I suspect I'm not the only person to have started off being afraid. And so if that is you, then I urge you, you know, don't let that stop you from drawing close, because God is a kind Father. And as we heard from our reading in John this morning, this was something that was promised by Jesus. It was a good thing, and it was something he promised to those that loved him. It was, if you like, the final piece of the jigsaw. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we become complete. The Holy Spirit is described as God's seal on his people. And in baptism, we are told God claims you for his own. And Jesus promised for his disciples that when he was no longer with them, they would receive the Holy Spirit. They would have a counselor, someone to comfort and guide. They weren't being left alone to their own resources, and neither are we. The Holy Spirit is described as a teacher. And Jesus promised them that the Holy Spirit will remind them of everything he has said. I often think my brain is like a sieve. There's like masses of information that comes in, and quite frankly, most of it just filters through. And I guess most of us are like that to a greater or lesser extent. But Jesus is saying, you don't need to worry. The Holy Spirit is going to remind you of the important stuff. I looked up and there are apparently 31,102 verses in the Bible. Now, not surprisingly, the majority of those I'm not going to remember. But there are some that I know over the years the Holy Spirit has very clearly reminded me of. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And there's a verse in Philippians that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I often struggle to remember where things are in the Bible. I know that text is in Philippians. I can't tell you which chapter or verse. But for me, that doesn't matter. I just need to be reminded that I'm a work in progress and that's okay. God is on my case, if you like, and he's in control. And his plans for me are good. And sometimes it's not just a Bible text that I can be prompted. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit will bring the name of a person to mind, or there'll be a picture, something that will prompt me to do something or remind me of a time in my life when God has been particularly gracious. And he's described as the Spirit of Truth. And he gives us the mind of Christ in the person of the Spirit in us. And he promises that we will not see as the world sees, but rather as Jesus sees. And he will show us where we've got it wrong and need to get back on track and ask for God's forgiveness. And that can be quite painful. In Psalm 66, we read, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." Transformation can be painful, but the outcome is good. And finally, if the idea of having a one-to-one counsellor guide 24/7 who knows exactly who you are, what difficulties you're facing, where you need refining, and what you need reminding about. If that doesn't seem a good enough reason to not hold back from surrendering, then I think we need to look at what happens when we do surrender and encounter the Holy Spirit. Because we're promised not just the gifts of the Spirit, and they're going to be different for each one of us, and some are very dramatic, like the gift of healing. Others are less so, it might be the gift of discernment. But every person here has been blessed by the gifts of the Spirit. And they are, of course, very precious, and they equip us to be a blessing to others. But I think when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we can see the difference that the presence of the Holy Spirit makes in our life. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What beautiful, precious character traits they are. And yes, they will mean that we are a blessing to others, but what a blessing for us. Just imagine tomorrow when we wake up, whatever difficulties we might be facing, however ill we might feel, we will be overwhelmed by God's peace. We talk about God's peace as being beyond understanding. And when we think about the terrible events in Paris over the weekend, it's that deep-rooted peace that goes way beyond circumstance that we need. When the world seems in chaos, I want the Holy Spirit to remind me that God is sovereign. He cannot be beaten by darkness. He is Alpha and Omega and judge of all. There is nowhere that I or anyone else can go to get away from God. There is no point north, south, east or west where he will not be beside me. And the list goes on, that we will be patient and kind and filled with goodness and self-control and find it easy to love friends and family, even if they've hurt us. I want a day like that. So finally, we come to the how. Well, quite simply, it's our choice. Just like the child with the bag of sweets. Wanting one is not enough. You have to step forward. But just like the father in the prodigal son, God is always waiting, arms outstretched, running towards us as we take that first step closer to him. In my childhood Bible, the picture I remember most was it's the William Holman Hunt's picture of Jesus stood outside the door, just waiting. And in Revelations, there's a letter to the church in Laodicea where we read, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." The Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift to us, just as it was to the disciples. But he's not going to force himself in. He waits to be invited. And we need to hold on to that image that Malcolm used, showing that however wet a sponge is, it will dry out. It needs to keep being plunged back into the water. Being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a one-off lifetime experience. It's rather a choice that we make not to live without him. We are invited into an intimate relationship with our Creator God and to grow in our intimacy and surrender, to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. I read an article in the newspaper about a woman whose husband had sadly contracted something called Lewy body disease, which meant that his body dipped in and out of dementia. So he fluctuated from absolute normality to total confusion. And she wrote of how much she loved him and said, "We were part of the same whole. I used to say I didn't know where I ended and he began. So deep was our connection, so utterly consuming, it never wavered." That seemed to me to be a wonderful description of an intimate, overwhelming, loving relationship. When we remember that story of Moses coming down from his encounter with God, his face was so radiant, people were afraid to come near him. There was that sense of not knowing where God ended and Moses began. When Jesus was describing his love for us and for his disciples, he wrote, "Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." I think that's the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have. That amazing prospect that we can be so intimate with God that we won't know where we end and he begins.